Amen. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. There's a whole lot more in the Bible about rejoicing and joy than I had considered or thought or even seen before. But once you start studying out joy and the verses with joy and rejoice, you get to see how joyful God is, how joyful heaven is, and how joyful He wants the saved and His children to be. Joy is something we should live with continually. But I fear that many Christians live very unjoyful lives. The most joyful people you should know should be Christians. But I think you know, there are people out there who have great, you know, a great personality and things. And you're shocked to find out some of the people who are the real grumpy guys are the Christians. And I've asked several people who've had great personalities and they just seem to enjoy life. And I've been like, "Are you go to church? Are you a Christian?" They're like, "No, I'm not." I'm thinking, "You should be." You know, and what a great testimony you have. better than even those who should have a testimony. You know what I mean? All right, try to figure this thing out. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, we are going to highlight a verse that talks about rejoicing, but overall this passage of Scripture kind of helps us understand that our rejoicing is supposed to be something we're trying to do for each other too. We should try to help each other rejoice. You know, when thinking about church, and, you know, my wife and I had a great conversation last Saturday night. And really, it just helped me push, there again, the encourager to the pastor. Just helped me kind of push the reset button, okay, when it comes to church and the focus of church, okay? Because as a pastor, there's two numbers that generally you're concerned with. The first number is the attendance, how many people were here. How many people did we help? How many people got saved? How many people were serving? And then the next number is the offering. How many funds came in to help us get more people and to help us get more people saved? And if those two numbers aren't very good, if a pastor is focused on those two numbers, then what happens to his spirit? He gets discouraged and he gets grumpy. And then he comes to church and he preaches a discouraged, grumpy sermon. And then he develops discouraged and grumpy congregants, and then he expects his congregants who are discouraged and grumpy to go out and ask people to come and join the discouraged, grumpy church they go to. But they're so discouraged and grumpy, they don't want to go out and ask more people to come. You know, you see what I'm saying? And I don't know, I've tried to not focus on those two things since I've been pastor. We took it out of the bulletin. It's something I've tried not to focus on. But honestly, in the back of my mind, that's kind of still been something that I've been focused on. Well, this last Sunday, I was able to completely just, doesn't matter. And me and Brother Victor, we were having a staff meeting Tuesday, and we were just looking down at the purposes of the church. And I believe the three main purposes of the church is, one, soul winning, two, discipleship, and three, fellowship. The purpose of the church is to get other people saved, to fulfill the Great Commission. The purpose of the church is to disciple those who have been saved so that they can go and see other people saved. And the purpose of the church is to fellowship with those who've been saved and discipled to encourage them to keep on going and getting more people saved. Would you agree with that? And soul winning, and I don't know, we may not even get in all I got tonight. But soul winning is more, I believe soul winning is more than winning someone to Christ for salvation. I don't think that soul winning ever stops with somebody. Yes, you win them, you win their soul to Christ and they get saved, but then there's the winning them to follow Christ in discipleship. There's the winning them to stay encouraged and trying to draw them towards being conformed to the image of Christ. Why would they want to be conformed to the image of Christ if you claim to be, but you live a miserable life? We're pushing away the young people of our churches by having upset and grumpy adult parents, and the kids are thinking, man, you guys live miserable. You say you love Jesus and you know you're happy and joyful, but if that's what happy and joy is, that guy over there is not even saved and he's happy and joyful. I think I'll go try and do what he's doing. So we're losing our young people because our adults, I think part of it is we're focused on the wrong thing. I was focused on the attendance numbers. I was focused on the finance numbers. I really can't do anything to change either of them. It's like trying to grow if just by thinking. If you can't change the height of your height, God says, why are you worried about what you're going to eat and drink? He said, I'll clothe you and I'll put the food on your back. Don't worry about how tall or short you are. And so Sunday, and my wife, we were just talking. She's like, when I was a little girl, I just used to love coming to church. Not that she doesn't love coming to church now, but she, just growing up, church, I enjoyed going to church on Sunday. I said, I did too. When I was a kid, I looked forward to coming to church. It was exciting. It was fun. I felt loved. I loved learning about God. And let me say, Sunday school teachers, the young people in your class should love coming to your class because of the joy in the Lord that you have. That's what makes it fun. You excited about the Lord gets them excited about the Lord. And so I'm thinking, yeah, man, and even as an adult, we're married, I enjoyed going to the services. And I was like, I want the people of our church to enjoy coming to the services. Yeah, I'm still preaching the word, don't get me wrong. But I also want to come and enjoy the services. And it's kind of hard as the pastor when you're sitting up here and you're like, oh, they're not here. Oh, I miss them, and oh, I miss them, and I miss them, and I miss them. And I can get caught up in missing everybody that's not here instead of enjoying everybody that is here. Amen? So I'll just tell you, this last Sunday was a great Sunday for me. Brother Victor, he drove the church bus for me on Sunday. Got here early, got everything off my mind, needed off my mind. I was able to fellowship and just had a great, great Sunday. And I thank God for Brother Victor and for you supporting the hiring of an assistant pastor. And also, because numbers of the attendance and numbers of the finances, if you take those off and you're not... Okay, and here's another thing. If you'll focus on winning people to Christ and you'll focus on discipling them and you'll focus on fellowshipping and loving them, the attendance will take care of itself because people want to be here. And the finances will take care of itself if people want to be here. You don't really need to worry about those. What you need to be concerned about is loving people and being happy about it. Amen? Being happy about it. And so with Brother Victor, I found myself, even I told him today, I found myself thinking, in the area of numbers, okay, how many people am I bringing to church? How many people is Brother Victor bringing to church? And then you can get discouraged and frustrated if that's the only purpose of him being here, and it's not. But then realizing, an assistant pastor, really the main job of an assistant pastor is to take things off the pastor so the pastor can be more free to do what he's called to do. And Brother Victor's batting 1,000 on that. And him driving the bus on Sunday morning, whew, really helped me going into Sunday school, going into Sunday morning. I don't know if you noticed the difference or not. Did you notice the difference this last Sunday? Maybe I fake it till I make it and you don't know. You don't know, but I had a great Sunday, and I'm having a great Wednesday. And what it comes down to is we're saved, we're going to heaven, God has it all under control, just be faithful, and love each other, and let God build the church, amen? Joy has a lot to do with that. It's okay to smile in church. Some of you got it down tonight, it's good. It's okay to smile in church. I've been in churches, and I've preached in several churches, and nobody smiled, nothing. And let me say, when we first came here, the northern culture, not very many people were smiling at all. And I thought, oh, these people don't, they really don't care for us much at all, you know. And, that was an egg and a lemon, and that music special was just down, you know. But then, that was so good, that was so great, thank you so much, it really touched me and spoke to me. And I'm back there, really? Okay. But we've got to put that joy outwardly. If we got that joy inwardly, this is the light of mine. I need to let it shine. Okay? And you should be the most joyful people that people know in this area. You should be the most joyful customer that the waitress has to wait on that day. I'll tell you what, some of the times, the most meanest people to waitresses are Christians. I've seen it. That shouldn't be, should it? Brother Scott had a good point. He's like, yeah, you know, why is it, you know, we come to church and then we go to wait at the steakhouse, and because it's an hour wait, all of a sudden, all the joy is out the window. You know, and you got some cantankerous Christians. You know, you want to ask, weren't you just in church? So I think part of it's our focus. A majority of it is our focus and where our focus is. Here in Romans chapter 12, Paul says, he's telling to the church here at Rome, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when the high priest and the priest accepted sacrifice from people, what kind of sacrifice were people supposed to bring? Their best or the leftovers? Supposed to be the best. So if we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, then we should be giving it our best. And let me just say, we should be an approvable sacrifice. You know, a joyful sacrifice. Are you with me? Holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's saying here, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, our mind, the mind is the greatest battlefield. And you have to protect what goes in your mind, what goes in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And let me just say, you're not going to be able to speak joyful words if you're not putting joy in. And who gives us joy? God and the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to reign in your heart and to prune things out of your life that will steal your joy, how are you going to be able to be joyful if you're quenching the Holy Spirit? Right? It's hard to be joyful as a Christian when the Spirit is grieved. When the Holy Spirit is grieved. And so you've got to prune things out of your life that will steal your joy, that'll grieve the Holy Spirit, and that would not be something that would point people to Jesus Christ. Look, if there's anything in your life that would not push people to Christ as a byproduct, then it is something that steals your joy. And it is something that is pushing them away from Christ. How can we be joyful with that? Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And let me say, when you come to church and everybody is trying to encourage everybody, I'm pretty sure you're going to end up with some joyful folks who are rejoicing in the fact that they're on the winning side and they're not alone. Many of you were out today working a job with some people who are joy stealers. Or maybe you work in an atmosphere that's a joy, that's quenches the Holy Spirit and takes away joy. And it can be hard. But let me just say, when you come into the church house, you should be encouraged by the other brothers and sisters in Christ that are saved and that are happy about it. I understand there's times in our lives where when we come to church, we kind of drag in, we crawl in, we're like, I'm here, you know, somebody help me, somebody encourage me. But let me just say, if you're coming to church every single Sunday and you're crawling in needing encouragement, then you have quenched the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're not rejoicing like you should and reigniting the joy of your salvation in your heart every day. And you've got to get to the place where you can get joy through praying and through the power of the Holy Spirit without needing always to have a brother and sister Christ. That's supposed to be the extra icing on the cake. Paul and Silas, they were joyful and singing in prison. Amen? Joy. Okay, continue on here. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And let me just pause and say, when you encourage other brothers and sisters in Christ, who are you serving? You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you give a cup of water to one of these to a child in my name, he's gonna reward you for it. Okay? And you do it as just like you did it to me. So verse 12, rejoicing in what? Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And then look down to verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You know, if someone else is joyful, rejoice with them. Don't be upset because they're joyful, but you have a heartache and a trial, so you're going to try and pour water on the joy that they have because you want them actually to weep with you that's weeping right now. You're not up to rejoicing with them that rejoice. You ever been there? It's like, man, stop being so happy and joyful around me. I've had a bad day. I want to stay in my grumpiness. Take your joy elsewhere. No, rejoice with them that rejoice. You know, when you rejoice and you're excited for somebody else when blessings of God come along, guess what you'll start to feel? Joy in your heart. You'll start to think of the good things in your own life. Philippians 2, 4 through 8 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I believe one of the main things that is saying is that when you're supposed to look on things of others, you're supposed to be looking for ways to help them rejoice. You're supposed to look in for ways to help bring a smile to their face, to help bring joy into their life. And we should come to church looking to encourage each other. And I'm going to say, when everyone comes to church looking to encourage everyone else, guess who's going to leave encouraged? All of us. If you come to church looking for other people to encourage you, guess how you're probably going to leave? Discouraged. Because they didn't meet your joyful expectations and spend enough time helping you to rejoy, and so you didn't get your joy rejoyed. So you left unjoyed and upset. When you come with no expectations of someone encouraging you, but you come trying to encourage others, you'll end up leaving encouraged. Whenever I go to visit somebody to try to encourage them, I leave encouraged. My wife and I got the pleasure to go see Mrs. Yost and got to, she's doing good, and her physical therapy's come along. Keep praying for her physical therapy, really painful and hard. But just a good time with them, and I left encouraged. Went to encourage them, I left encouraged. I went to encourage Jim Koons, I left encouraged. You know, if you go to encourage somebody, you'll end up leaving encouraged. But when you go expecting to be encouraged, most times, folks, you'll leave discouraged because you have expectations of what you think it means you need to receive in order to be encouraged. And no one ever reaches that level. They never put enough time that you think into that and enough oohs and ahs and ohs and I understand, you know, and oh, you know. You know how it is when you're sick and you want someone to baby you and they're like, toughen up and walk it off. You're like, what? Where's the encouragement? You know, where's the babying here? The word rejoice, okay, there's two definitions. The verb in the intransitive form means to experience joy and gladness in a high degree, to be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations, to exult. Rejoice is a verb transitive, to make joyful, to gladden, to animate with lively, pleasurable sensations, to exhilarate. And here in verse number 12, the Bible says, rejoicing in what? Rejoicing in hope. Well, what hope do we have? What? The resurrection. We have hope in the resurrection. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. We're going to live forever in a resurrected body. What'd you say? Salvation, our hope in salvation, that we don't have to die in sin and stay in hell and live, our sins are paid for. Our hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, our hope of heaven, rejoicing in hope. You know, listen, folks, you can't stop and think about salvation and heaven and truly just stop and think about it without having joy come with that thought. It's a joyful thought. Rejoicing in hope. Well, what's the hope? It's salvation. Let's look at several passages of Scripture here just about rejoicing. I want you to look at Philippians 4:4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, when you're there, say amen. All right, read it out loud with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, and how much is always? Always. Always. When things are going good, when things are going bad, when things are perfectly scheduled, when things are crazy, rejoice how? In the Lord. Who is it that brings us joy? The Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, he says it twice. So we should be joyful. Look, that doesn't always mean that you're going to have a smile on your face. Job, as he sat there in the ashes and had lost his kids, his wife said, "Won't you curse God and die?" Walks away. His friends, his best friends, come and say, "Well, I know you had some kind of secret sin, bub, and God's judging you for it. Just admit it. You did this or this, right? Or you didn't do this?" Nobody. He says, "Naked came I into this world, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job didn't say that with a smile on his face. But he still had the joy in knowing where his kids were. He still had the joy in knowing he would see them again. You're not always going to come in church. I don't expect us to come in church all the time with cheesy grins. I got my joy on. you know, walking in the door, and where's your joy? Huh? Who stole your joy? You quenching the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Guilty. No. I'm not expecting us to always come in with big smiles on. I do believe God is expecting us to come in, though, thinking of who he is, of our salvation, and be glad that we're here in church, and be glad that we get to be here with each other, and that we should say, who can I encourage? And I think if you do that, I do think you'll leave with joy in your heart. You may not even have a smile on your face when you leave, but I do believe you have joy in your heart. And we're supposed to rejoice. To me, that says rekindle. To me, that says if I want to have joy in my life, it's a continual reminder. It's a continual thinking on my salvation. Look, no matter what happens with your buses, Brother Steve, you get to go to heaven. They don't. No matter what happens with the health of a family member, they're saved. They get to go to heaven and get a new body. Amen? You know, there was a man that came in and he pointed a gun. I think it was at John R. Rice. And John R. Rice stood up and said, you can't threaten me with heaven. You can't scare me with heaven. Leave. You know, because if he shot him, what's the worst that could happen? He would go to heaven. Man. That's enough gets you depressed. No. When you think of heaven, that's joy. Okay? Listen to this. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. My name's written in heaven. Somewhere up there in the book of life, Robert J. Rhines is written, and the date that I can't remember, but it was a Wednesday night in Fredonia, Pennsylvania, and I don't remember how old I was, but it's written in that book, in my name. And it won't be blotted out. I can rejoice in that. Psalms 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you can rejoice that you have another day to get up and go like this. Smell the bacon and eggs cooking. But we got a lot of bacon for church camp, so I think the whole campground's going to end up by us because we've got a box of bacon to cook, but they're going to love us. Bacon, be thankful you can smell the bacon and eggs since, you know, after the COVID symptoms have passed, you can smell again. That was a joke. I'm sorry, that wasn't very funny. Be thankful that you can walk. Be thankful that you can see colors. I saw this video of this man in his 60s, and his family got him those color glasses where you can see color. And he did this, you know. And he said, the trees are green. He said, they don't look like mud. And he started weeping because he could see color. We get to see color. We get to see each other. We get to read the Word of God. Look, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Look, you can rejoice and have joy in the fact God gave you another day. God gave you another opportunity to come and hear his word preached tonight. God gave you another opportunity to come and be with other Christians and encourage other Christians tonight. We can have joy in that. Psalms 9:2, I'm just going to read these for sake of time. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Just thinking about God makes you rejoice and have joy. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Now, how long is that? How long is always? Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, we like to say the will of God for Christ Jesus concerning you is so that you'll give thanks in everything. And the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you is that you'll pray without ceasing. We kind of forget the for the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you is that you'll rejoice evermore, though. We don't highlight that very much. When's the last time you heard preaching on joy and rejoicing, other than the last two Wednesday nights? When's the last time I preached on joy? Have I ever preached on joy? I don't remember preaching on joy. You know what? Shame on me, unjoyful pastor. We have the most to be joyful about. We should be the most joyful people in the entire universe because our Heavenly Father loves us, died on the cross for us, saved us, prepared a place for us. We have a home in heaven. This world isn't our home. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not alone. We have the Word of God. We can see, we can breathe, we can eat. We're saved, we're sanctified. We should be the most joyful people at work. You know, all of a sudden on the metal line, someone should hear Nathan Himmelreich. By the way, he can sing. I tried to get him in the choir once, singing. I'm happy today, I'm happy today, in Jesus Christ, I'm happy today. Hey, Nathan, pipe down. Because he's taking all my sins away. Not that they could hear you in the machine shop anyway. Rejoice. Rejoice. Psalm 71:23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. When we come and we sing the songs to the Lord, sing and rejoice in your heart that you can sing to the Lord. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. God will rejoice over you with singing. I think it's proper for us to rejoice over him when we sing. Amen? But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountiful with me. Psalms 13:5-6. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Zechariah 9:9. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. 1 Peter 1:8-9, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Habakkuk 3:17-18, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. When everything is bleak, he's still in control. He still owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, the reason for your joy. For he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, the reason for your joy. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. 1 Corinthians 13:6-7 says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. We can rejoice that we have the truth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Psalms 119, 14. Look, you know, I know a lot of people, they win the lottery, they'll go crazy and nuts and, oh, yeah. When you got a Bible, you won the spiritual lottery. And every day you get to open it. Yeah. If you see Brother Steve out here, 6 o'clock or, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, about 11 when he gets up, maybe 11. It wasn't because the coffee machine was broken, got fixed. It's because he got to read his Bible that morning. Rejoicing in the Word of God. Rejoice in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Joy. It is a forgotten trait and fruit that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we need to rejoice again. When we come to church, we need to rejoice about our salvation. We need to rejoice that we're with brothers and sisters in Christ who love us. We need to rejoice the fact that we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. We need to rejoice the fact that we get to hear the Word of God preached and how precious it is. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So let's come to church expecting to be a blessing. Let's come to church expecting to encourage others. And I guarantee you, you do that, guess what's going to happen? You are going to leave encouraged. When you come to church expecting to get encouraged, most of the time you're going to leave discouraged. Because people won't meet up to the expectations and the encouragement level you think they need to do with enough sincerity to prove to you that you really can't stop being in the mully grubs. Rejoice. 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 Joy. 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 Joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you rejoice in the Lord and you feel the joy of the Lord, it kind of stinks being in the mully grubs. It's a whole lot more fun in life to be joyful. Amen? Let's be joyful Christians. Let me say, you cannot be full of joy if you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit, the second thing is joy. You get joy from God. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you are going to grieve the Holy Spirit and you're going to walk around grieved. If you're walking around grieved, look in your life and say, what is it in my life that's discouraging me? And prune it out. Because there's nothing like the joy of the Lord. They were weeping in Nehemiah because they understood the words of the Lord. And they said, don't weep. It's a day of rejoicing. Go home. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portions to those that don't have any. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'll tell you what. It's great to be joyful. It is. But if you want to stay joyful, you got to rejoice. There's another day. And tomorrow the coffee machine may break. Remember, you're saved. You can still find joy. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for being joyful over us and about us. Lord, help us to be joyful over you and about you. Help us, Heavenly Father, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoice. Lord, also it says part of your will for us, Lord, is that we rejoice evermore. Help us, Lord, to be joyful. Help us to remind ourselves where we're going, who we are in you, that our sins are forgiven, that we're washed in the blood, that we're on the winning side, that you are the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, you've got it all in your palm of your hand, you know what's going on. Help us just to trust in you, cast our cares upon you, and to joy and rejoice in you and all that you do for us and all the love you have for us, Lord. Help us Help us in this area, the members of Victory Baptist Church, to be the most joyful people around, because we love you and we're amazed at your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just take a moment there if you would and talk to the Lord. If there's something in your life that's stealing your joy, if you're grieved, if something's grieving you and bringing you down, ask the Lord to reveal to you what it is that's grieving His Holy Spirit, and be willing to prune it out so that your joy can be full. Nothing can take the place of that joy in your life. Nothing can compensate for that, and nothing is worth allowing in your life to block that. Allow who you are in Christ and what He's done for you in His salvation to bring you joy. Heavenly Father, please help us to just continue to remind ourselves, renew our mind in You and Your Word, that our joy might be full. Help us, Heavenly Father, be full of the Holy Spirit's power and might as one of the fruit that's produced with the Spirit indwelling in us and us walking in Him is joy. Help us be joyful, Lord. Be a good testimony to the lost world and help them to say, you know what? You're so happy and joyful. I want what you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.